Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back, and we are back with the cannabis connoisseur, Manny Johnson. Manny Johnson's been in the cannabis business longer than basically anybody I've met, and I've been looking for a long time now. Everybody knows I'm sort of well-connected in the cannabis industry, and I've been able to find who I think is the preeminent oracle of not only CBD, THC, but also hemp. And I think that right now the most interesting opportunity in the space is the hemp business. Welcome back to the show, Manny Johnson.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's great to be here and to help you today.
Now, Manny, we've been talking a lot about THC, CBD, a bunch of letters, and let's talk about a word today. Let's talk about hemp. I've been watching the George Washington special that they had over President's Day weekend on the History Channel, and they say that he retired to Mount Vernon to grow hemp. Now, wait a minute. We were growing hemp here 200 years ago, but we're not growing it now. What's going on with the hemp thing? Where did it go? How did it come back? Tell me about hemp, Manny.
The hemp plant's a very interesting plant. It's in the, cannabis is hemp and marijuana. And if you look at the molecular structure of hemp, it is the same as cannabis sativa, which is one of the genus and species of marijuana. You talk about sativa, which is the usually your sativa your sativa flower is generally the THC higher amounts, whereas your indica tends to relax people a little bit more. And with your hemp, you've got cannabis sativa L, which means that it's a left-handed molecule. If you were to look at the marijuana molecule, cannabis sativa, it's and just rotate it to the left and you end up with the hemp molecule. So they're very, very closely related. It's just one has psychoactive properties, meaning it has a THC level above 0.3%. And the other one, hemp, has a THC level of less than 0.3%. So it has no psychoactive effect whatsoever.
Now, let's talk about that for a second, because you say it has no psychoactive effect, but then it does mellow people out, doesn't it? It has some kind of emotional thing that kicks in that helps people, I don't want to say feel better and be kind of general, but feel better.
And
How does that work?
Well, the way it acts on the body, it acts on different receptors. There's a CB1 receptor and a CB2 receptor. They're pretty well known in what's called the endocannabinoid system, which is part of our nervous system, which is how this all reacts together. But your CBD, when you like for example, if you were to get a hemp cigarette, a hemp CBD cigarette, and you were to smoke it, it would not affect your working ability in terms of making, abstract problem solving. It would not affect anything at all with the psychoactive part. It would not give you any sense of paranoia whatsoever. It is more of a body type of feeling. It's that CBD, neuroprotectant, antioxidant feeling that you get. So you can literally smoke this. And some of the studies have actually shown that 40% of the people that go into these hemp smoking studies, they end up stopping to smoke cigarettes because they don't have the need for the nicotine anymore.
Well, so for them, it's more like a physiological habit than it is addiction.
Exactly.
That's
There's
fascinating.
A lot to that.
That's fascinating. Now, Manny, most people are familiar with the way that a marijuana plant looks. It's this big, tall stalk. It's got these leaves that we're all familiar with. It's got these nodes on it where all of the stuff kind of gathers together and gets strong. What part is hemp of that plant? Is it even on that plant?
Well, the hemp plant is an entire plant itself.
Okay.
And, it has the roots. The roots are actually pretty magical also, because the roots will do two things on the hemp plant, which it, The hemp plant is a very, very popular plant, getting back to the days when George Washington grew it and Thomas Jefferson. It was a plant you wanted to grow because you could make hemp out of it. I mean, you could make hemp paper out of it. You could make rope out of it. You could make clothing out of it. You could make a biomass that they used.
What's a biomass?
It's a short word for biological mass.
So that's everything except the buds that they call?
Yep, everything except the flower and the roots. And, you know, you can take all the rest of it. Think about the stalk coming up, okay? You've got your tree trunk basically coming up. Then you got your branches coming off of it. So that tree trunk coming up, the branches are also part of the biomass. The large leaves at the very bottom of the plant coming all the way up the plant, that's part of the biomass. And then you've got your flower, which is your higher cannabidiols, your higher CBD contents.
Okay. So then you were telling me that a plant to be hemp has to have less than 0.03% THC. Is it hard to make that happen? And what happens if it has more?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I did read some studies going back about 100 years, and I wanted to find out why in the world did they decide that 0.3 was the cutoff, okay, between hemp and marijuana, basically. And also what I found was what they literally did was the international organization that made that decision, which was several countries around the world, they took the species of hemp that was being grown back then, which was all industrial hemp. Mm-hmm. It was all being used for, the things we were talking about, like paper, textiles, building materials, things like that. And also bioremediation. It's a great rotation crop. Like if you're planting soybeans or something that takes a lot of nitrogen out of the soil, the planting hemp on it as a rotation crop will regenerate the soil. So that's why all of our forefathers were growing it, because it had rope was very significant back then. There wasn't, you couldn't go to the store and get nylon rope. You had, it was either hemp rope or there wasn't any rope. And then your paper is the same thing. Your paper from trees was very, very time consuming, whereas your papyrus and then of course your hemp paper. The second draft of the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp.
Huh. Really? Wow, that's really interesting. Now, Manny, we've been talking about the fact that the strength of the marijuana is stronger today than it has ever been before. What I want to do is I want to take a quick break. Then I want to come back. I want to talk about the difference between marijuana when I was in college, marijuana today, and what's happening to marijuana and cannabis in the future. Can you hang out and give me a couple minutes on that?
Oh, I'd be happy to, Jim.
Awesome. Well, we'll be right back with Manny Johnson. Manny's been involved with the cannabis and hemp business since the beginning. He was an initial investor out in California and Colorado, and we're going to talk to Manny about all kinds of things about the cannabis market, and we'll be back with more interesting facts right after this.
I'll tip my hat to the new Constitution, take a bow for the new revolution, smart and free, let the change all around, pick up my guitar and play, just like yesterday.
Hey everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. What do they have in common?
Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and of course, the 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain you love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful, you're smart, you are awesome, and you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting, be strong, be brave, be awesome, be daring, be kind. Choose kindness.
Hi, this is Jim Fried. I'm the founder of Sandstone Realty Advisors. If you need financing, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why would you do that? Well, I help families all across South Florida execute their real estate plans. I recently helped one family in downtown Miami sell their land to one of the big national developers. I helped another client up in Fort Lauderdale. He needed to liquefy his portfolio because, unfortunately, he was passing away with a terminal illness. We did that for him in less than a month. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
Welcome back to Fried on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Fried or at Fried on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Fried One. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, we're on, and we're here again with Manny Johnson. Manny is, he's just the expert on cannabis. We talk all things cannabis with Manny. And Manny, one of the things that I've noticed is that the cannabis has become really strong. The marijuana is strong. You look at the stuff that they sell, it's got 60%, 90%. What is all that? And is that really good for somebody?
Well, Jim, that's the, you know, there's a good and a bad to everything. Okay. There's a lot of different sides that you can look at here. And, with marijuana, you know, it is happening. It's like, you know, the strains that are the most popular with the public, the strains that are being purchased the quickest and the, you know, you can see this all across the world. It's not just in the United States, but the strains that sell for the highest price per pound are always the ones that have the higher THC level. And we're hitting THC levels above 30 now.
Above 30. What does that mean? Yeah. Because like when I take a look at the cannabis packaging in one of these stores, it says like 96% THC. What does that mean?
Oh, no. See, you're using an ice. You're using a concentrate. What's happened there is they've taken the cannabis plant and they've made a concentrate out of it where they've taken all the psychoactive THC out of it and they've put it into a vaping cartridge. Now you're getting into serious high levels of THC that really have never been seen before. And I would like to bring up one point that was released by the CDC released this about 3 weeks ago, and it was last year there were 2.9 million visits to hospitals around just the United States. And these are hospital visits of people who are suffering from a high THC content building up in their bodies. It's called, and we've talked about this before, Jim, it's called cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. It's gotten so popular that they've broken it down into where it's three initials now. It's CHS, cannabis, cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. And what it is it's the THC building up in the body, and it will do that when you're doing large or high concentrations, even if you're smoking marijuana every day and it's high concentrations of THC. It stores up in the fat cells in your body, and it'll reach a certain threshold, and everybody is different, so the threshold is different for people. But that'll reach a threshold where you start getting nausea, you get vomiting, you get diarrhea, And the only thing you can do is to, you know, when you go to the hospital, they'll treat you with hot water baths or heating pads to try to keep you from having the seizures and the vomiting. It is something that if you quit smoking for 30 to 60 to 90 days, depending again on the person, you can get your body back to a homeostasis to where you can literally not have to go to those high concentrations of THC again. You can actually go back to where it's a lower form of like an 18%, 15% smokable, you know, marijuana cigarette instead of a concentrate.
So the marijuana cigarette won't get me as high as the concentrate? Do they get you as, I don't want to talk like that, but do they operate the same way, or is there some
wastage? They operate exactly the same way. Here's what's happening, though, what I'm trying to get across, and let me try again. What's happening is that every day if you smoke high THC, okay, even a marijuana cigarette, if it's a high THC marijuana cigarette, your body will build up a tolerance to it, to where if I smoke with you, I'm going to be high as a kite because I very rarely would smoke it, you know, marijuana. But the thing is so I can just take like one inhalation off it and I'm fine. Whereas you would smoke it all day and it wouldn't be enough for you. You'd need to go to something higher in THC content.
Well, so then if you're already out at the max stuff, it sounds to me like we got problems brewing out there.
Well, we had 2.9 million patients last year, problems, and that's real. And it's all walks of life. It's not one socioeconomic group.
So then how do we address this? It sounds like it's a public health issue. Did I just really say that?
Well, Jim, this whole thing is a public health issue. We are actually turning something that we're calling a medicine, we're turning it loose onto the public without having any double-blind studies that, and in all honesty, I mean, you know, when this became a controlled substance, one, the only research institute that was doing any research on it was the National Institute of Drug Abuse. That's NIDA, and it's out of the University of Mississippi, and they would only fund studies to show that marijuana was dangerous. But they wouldn't fund a study to show any of its benefits. So we're really caught in a serious conundrum, because last year the Department of Justice was supposed to fund over 80 studies at different medical schools and scientific centers. It ended up funding like 18.
Wow. So how are we going to get knowledge about this, and who's going to use the knowledge, and can the knowledge come fast enough for me to be able to apply it?
I will, Jim. I was looking through my emails before I talked to you this morning. I've got 83 emails already today, and it is not 1 o'clock yet. And those 83 emails all are from different organizations that are putting out new information on marijuana every day. Every state has its own laws. The federal government has its, you know, quasi-jurisdiction, which is also something very unusual that's happening in the budget that President Trump is submitting to Congress for their approval, the $4.8 trillion budget. It has funding in there for the Department of Justice through the DEA to go back into states that the Cole Memorandum and that the federal government had said they were going to leave states with medical marijuana laws alone if they were being properly regulated. And you know, we know they're not being properly regulated.
What's even properly regulated? I think that I've seen in this state is it's just a contest where they come out with butter knives and try to carve each other up.
Well, and I honestly believe that's what's going on in every state. I don't see any state that is running this like it would be a quote-unquote medicine. You know, number one, it has to be grown safe for human consumption. That's not happening usually. It is happening with some people, you know, but I would say the vast majority of marijuana products are not being grown with products that are safe for human consumption. And then when they start to make the products from them, the concentrates, the vaping oils, the distillates, the isolates, all the edibles they make, You've got people who are not scientists who are making those. They're using multi-million dollar machines in some cases, yet they don't have a college education to know how to use the machine. Wow. So that's why you end up on labeling, and almost every state has this labeling leeway. It's like if you go to Nevada and you buy marijuana, it will have a 15% variance in what is on the label and what is inside the product.
Wow.
Could you imagine going to get your blood pressure medication and it's got a 15% variance on it?
No.
Yeah, because it wouldn't work.
It's ridiculous. This is unreal. So what this really is it sounds like it's just a crapshoot so far. It doesn't sound like there's anything really focused and coordinated and good going on here. There's anecdotal evidence, but that's about it.
There's a lot of great things that are going on that we're overlooking right now. I mean, the great things were when medical marijuana became medical marijuana, and it was in Colorado, first started. You had the children with the seizure disorder that was being helped. You had the veterans with the PTSD and the anxiety that were being helped. And those people are still being helped. It's just now we're doing this thing like adult use. We've changed the word recreational and we've made adult use out of it because it sounds better. Okay. If we're going to do that, I would say that it needs to be to the same standards as the alcohol industry, beer industry, the foods that we buy and put into our bodies are scary enough to me when I read a label in a grocery store and, you know, I've got advanced degrees in biochemistry. I can't read the label. So if I can't understand something, I don't buy it.
Well, that's the best news. That's the best advice I've heard all day. You know, Manny, we've only got a couple of minutes left. If somebody is considering, you know, CBD, they're reading it. The people have all kinds of different physical issues that the CBD, and we're not talking about the psychoactive THC. We're just talking about CBD here. What is some of the things that you've seen that it really does have a good solid effect on? We talked about anxiety. I know for a fact friends that I have use it to address anxiety. What other things are you finding CBD good for? I've seen also pain and wellness.
Well, you know, since 1999, the U.S. government through the National Institute of Health, which is the largest research institute in the world, has had a patent on cannabidiol, CBD, for a neuroprotectant and as an antioxidant. And they had to get to get that patent. They had, I think it was like 117 different studies.
Wow.
Okay. So the things that we're seeing the greatest results with are children with seizure disorder, intractable seizure disorder, where they are going to die. Okay. And this is helping them tremendously. Okay. We're seeing, you know, along that same path, we're seeing traumatic brain injury. We're seeing post-concussion syndrome. We're seeing tremors with Parkinson's, ALS being helped. Okay? And these are, you know, it's being helped with a plant product that if we could grow it safely and if we paid attention to growing it and processing it safely, it would be so much better because it is a naturally occurring plant. And it's not one of these harsh chemicals that are being used for seizures, you know, like Keppra, things like that. My God, people that take Keppra, I have so many friends that had, you know, a brain cancer, and they put them on Keppra for the seizures. It's monstrous to see what happens. So I just wish the government would really stand behind this because they're getting paid 80% federal taxes, approximately, for any company that legally sells anything that touches marijuana.
So how does this even make money for them then?
They really aren't making the money that people are talking about. There's a lot of cash being made. So everybody hears the word cash and they think that's money. Cash is money. But the reason it's making cash is because they don't have a banking system to put the cash in. Because that, again, is a federal issue. And it's been bogged down in legislation. It was supposed to be passed this year.
Wow.
But they added so many earmarks onto it that it didn't get passed, didn't get out of the committee it was supposed to get out of.
Unreal.
So if we could just get the taxing done properly, I mean, Colorado's done a tremendous job with their taking the tax dollars and putting it to social uses. More people are moving to Colorado than any other state in the United States right now today.
I wonder why.
And they're doing it because of the quality of life that's being generated.
And the jobs. They have good jobs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, listen, Manny, we've got to go. I'll talk to you offline. We'll talk in the next day or so. We'll catch up on all the ideas. I want to thank you so much for being a part of the show today and part of the show on a regular basis. Manny Johnson, our CBD and cannabis expert. Thank you so much, Manny.